آمين يا رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جوانا نور. We were discussing Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم's being prophesied by previous scriptures, and then we mentioned people of the previous times who knew of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم and who would describe him to their communities and their people. One incident we touched on recently was that of Bahira. Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah brings this report interestingly in his Sunan al-Tirmidhi. And Allama ibn Kathir brings the lengthy report via Muhammad ibn Ishaq in his Bidayah wa Nihaya. Really, this report in Tirmidhi is so interesting, and the chain of reporters is sound. And the one narrator, Abdurrahman bin Ghazwan, who some question, is also a thiqa, sound narrator. So mashallah, the report is very suitable for narration. Abu Talib was undertaking this journey to the lands of the Romans, to Sham, and he saw the emotion in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he couldn't bear Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cry. He had love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was his brother's child, and Abu Talib and Abdullah came from the same father as well as the same mother. So Abu Talib had a lot of care for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we learn about Abu Talib, we realize what a gift of Allah is the gift of Iman and Hidayah. That do we deserve this? It's really the mercy of Allah. When a man who did so much for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, study his poetry in the defense of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says to the entire Makkah, كَذَبْتُمْ وَبَيْتِ اللَّهِ نُبْزَى مُحَمَّدًا وَلَمَّا نُطَاعِنُ دُونَهُ وَنُنَاضِلِي. The poem starts, وَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُ الْقَوْمَ لَوُدَّ فِيهِمُ وَقَدْ قَطَعُوا كُلَّ الْعُرَى وَالْوَسَائِلِ وَقَدْ صَارَحُونَا بِالْعَدَاوَةِ وَالْأَذَى وَقَدْ طَاوَعُوا أَمْرَ الْعَدُوِّ الْمُزَايِلِ وَقَدْ حَالَفُوا قَوْمًا عَلَيْنَا أَظِنَّةً يَعَضُّونَ غَيْظًا خَلْفَنَا بِالْأَنَامِلِ صبرت لهم نفسي بسمراء سمحة وأبيض عضب من تراث المقاومل وأحضرت عند البيت رهطي وإخوتي وأمسكت من أثوابه بالوصائل قياما معا مستقبلين رتاجه لدى حيث يقضي حلفه كل نافل. And then he carries on, where he finally says that when my people didn't have love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are agreeing with each other against my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I took my entire family holding on to the garment of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, going there by the Kaaba. And he carries on, and he carries on in his beautiful way, and he speaks about the Haram and Makkah.
وَبِالْبَيْتِ حَقِّ الْبَيْتِ مِنْ بَطْنِ مَكَّةَ وَبِاللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِغَافِلِي وَبِالْحَجَرِ الْمُسْوَدِّ إِذْ يَمْسَحُونَهُ إِذَا اكْتَنَفُوهُ بِالضُّحَى وَالْأَصَائِلِ وموطئ إبراهيم في الصخر رطبة على قدميه حافيا غير ناعلي وأشواط أشواط بين المروتين إلى الصفا وما فيهما من صورة وتماثل ومن حج بيت الله من كل راكب ومن كل ذي نذر ومن كل راجل.
And then finally he says,
يطاع بنا أمر العدا ود أننا يسد بنا أبواب ترك وكابل كذبتم وبيت الله نترك مكة ونضعن إلا أمركم في بلابل.
He says, by Allah, I take qasam, we will never leave Makkah. And then he says,
كذبتم وبيت الله نبزى محمدا ولما نطاعن دونه ونناضل ونسلمه حتى نصرع حوله ونذهل عن أبنائنا والحلائل.
He says, by Allah, you are definitely mistaken and you have uttered lies when you think I will let you pull my Muhammad from me until I defend him with my spear and utilize my strength and force. You think I'll hand him over? Never. حَتَّى نُصَرَّعَ حَوْلَهُ. Myself and my family's bodies will be lying dead around him, and you would have to climb over our dead bodies to reach him. Then maybe. وَنَذْهَلُ عَنْ أَبْنَائِنَا وَالْحَلَائِلِ. He says, we might neglect our own children, our own wives, but I'll never leave my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
So when you read this, it's such an emotional poem where his love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From here we understand Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's pain when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to him. Oh my uncle, read the kalima, read the kalima. I will speak to Allah for you. Kalimatun uhajju laka biha inda Allah. I will debate the issue. I will present the issue on judgment day that you read the kalima. But then the mushrikeen came around him and said, can you leave the way of your forefathers? So what a test it is, Ya Allah. How much must we thank Allah for the gift of Iman? How much must we thank Allah for the gift of Hidayah? And we have to want Hidayah for others, but we have to worry that Allah save us from losing this gift of Iman and this gift of Hidayah. I was just reading in Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah by Ibn Kathir rahimahullah of Umayyah bin Abi Salt, who knew so much about our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And later on, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave his sister Fari'a Hidayah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard from her the poetry of her brother, because his poetry was full of Tawheed. This one occasion where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finally met Umayyah bin Abi Salt. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited by the Kaaba, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Yasin, wal Qur'an al Hakim, innaka lamin al mursaleen, ala siratim mustaqim. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completed the surah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite the Qur'an to the non-Muslims for them to see the beauty of Islam, the beauty of deen. He recited Surah 41, Hamim Fussilat to Utba bin Rabi'a. Anyway, yeah, Umayyah bin Abi Salt got up, dragging his feet. Quraysh followed him and asked him, what do you say, Umayyah? He said, I testify that he is on truth. They asked him, will you follow him? He says, let me analyze further. Then Umayyah went to Sham. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Medina Munawwara. And when the people of Badr were killed and Muslims were victorious in Badr, Umayyah came from Sham. He camped in Badr for a while. And then he was on his way to go meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one of the mushrikeen said to him, O Abu Salt, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What are you going to do there? I am going to accept him and read the kalima at his hands and hand over my submission. So then they say to him, but you know who's cast inside the well? He says, I don't. They said, yeah, in here is Utba bin Rabi'a, Shayba bin Rabi'a, who are your relatives. And they mentioned a few of the mushrikeen. He then cut out the ears of his camel and its tail, and he stood there by the well crying. But he didn't go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Suhaili reports that Umayyah bin Abi Salt was the first in history to say Allah Bismik Allahumma. And there's an interesting incident where they were traveling with a group of Quraysh on a journey, and among them was Harb bin Umayyah, the father of the famous Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, Abu Sufyan bin Harb. And anyway, they saw a snake that was en route on their road, and they killed it. That evening, a woman from the jinn came to them and reprimanded them concerning why they killed the snake. And she had a stick that she struck on the ground and caused all their camels to flee. And they lost all their camels. Anyway, they went behind the camels looking for the camels. When they found the camels, they put it together. She came the next day and did the same thing. And they went to look for the camels again, because now it was dispersed due to this lady jinn that was causing trouble for them. Then they came to Umayyah asking him, what should we do? So he says, I don't know. But he tried to find a solution. And from a distance, he saw a fire from a distance. He went there and he met a person there and he greeted him and he asked him, what do we do? This is the challenge we have. This female jinn comes and troubles us each time. So this individual said, when she comes to you, then say, Bismik Allahum, in your name, O Allah. And you'll see Allah's name will cause it to flee. And when they gathered that time, and she came to them the third and the fourth time, Umayyah just kept on saying, Bismik Allahum, and it would flee without finding any peace. It would run away. But then the jinn attacked Harb bin Umayyah, who didn't want to say Bismik Allahum, and they killed him on that occasion. And he died there in the desert, because his companions buried him there where there was no one by him. And then the jinns then uttered the famous statement in Arabic that students test each other
in how many times can they say this consecutively without stammering? وَقَبْرُ حَرْبٍ بِمَكَانٍ قَفْرٍ وَلَيْسَ قُرْبَ قَبْرِ حَرْبٍ قَبْرُ وَقَبْرُ حَرْبٍ بِمَكَانٍ قَفْرِ وَلَيْسَ قُرْبَ قَبْرِ حَرْبٍ قَبْرُ وَقَبْرُ حَرْبٍ بِمَكَانٍ قَفْرِ وَلَيْسَ قُرْبَ قَبْرِ حَرْبٍ قَبْرُ. Anyway, Harb's grave is in a desertous land, and near Harb's grave there's no other grave, meaning he was buried in the wilderness. And Harb refers to the father of Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. But back to this, where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then went with his uncle, and they journeyed, and they passed the area called Busra. Now interestingly, there's a difference between Basra, which is in Iraq, and Busra, which is in Sham. They passed this area, and there, the scholar, the rabbi, the scholar, comes out from his monastery, and he then sees to them, and tends to them, and speaks to them very politely. This report in Bidayah is quite detailed. But they even ask him that normally you're quite busy at this time. He says, no, I should have been hospitable towards you all, and I'm now preparing a meal for you all, and I want every last one of you all to attend. And he prepared this meal, serving them, but he's looking for the one individual that he, due to whom he invited everyone. Then he asked them, but did you all bring every one of your caravan to have meals with me? They said, everyone important is here. So he asked them, but you mean who's not important? They said, no, there's a youngster who's the youngest of us, and he needed to take care of our animals. So leave him and we'll continue having the meal. We'll take for him something later probably. So he said, no, you have to invite him with you all. Then one of the Quraysh said, you know, it's unworthy of us that we leave Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib and not invite him to have this meal with us, despite him being the youngest, and the host wants him. So they go, and this person calls Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Bahira sees him, he gives him a place to sit, and he's now watching him and his actions. And when everyone had completed their meals, he says, oh young man, I ask you in the name of Lat and Uzza, please you must tell me and answer my questions. Bahira used the words Lat and Uzza because he heard the Arabs take oaths in these words, and he wanted to have an understanding with the young man, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not that he believed in Lat and Uzza, he just was trying to converse with them. But then interestingly, in Bidayah it's reported that Allah's Nabi said, don't ask me in the name of Lat and Uzza anything, because please, by Allah, for wallahi, I detest those idols the most. مَا أَبُغَضْتُ شَيْئًا قَطُّ بُغْضَهُمَا. And interestingly, subhanAllah, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never submitted or touched or showed reverence to idols ever in his life, as well as all his brothers from the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, because Allah saved them and preserved them from idolatry. Anyway, he then asked him in the name of Allah, tell me, and he asked him questions, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, and that was exactly coinciding with the knowledge Bahira studied about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he looked at the back Mubarak of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he saw the seal of prophethood. He then went to his uncle and said, who is this boy to you? The uncle said, this is my son. He said, he cannot be your son, because if he's the child I'm looking for, his father could not be alive. He says, actually he's my nephew. What happened to his father? His father passed on whilst his mother was bearing him. He says, yes, you have spoken the truth, because that was in accordance to the teachings of the previous scriptures about our Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, return with him to his lands. Be careful of the Jews, because by Allah, once they know, they will definitely aspire to harm him. And then in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, it becomes even more interesting, where the report goes like this, where just then there were these Roman soldiers who were arriving and then searching the area. And in the context, it's understood that the Arabs then went into the monastery, and there they were comfortable, or they were hosted by Bahira, the monk. And just then he tried to stop the soldiers from searching further, and he then motivated them to understand Allah's decree. He said to them, you are here looking for this child with such and such a description. They said, yes. And they said, there are soldiers like us sent in every root, and we have to find this child. So the monk then explains to them, when Allah decrees something, can any creation put a stop to it? They said, no, actually, no one can stop the decree of Allah. So he says to them, then why don't you all also accept the decision of Allah? When Allah wants to choose His messengers, He will do what He deems suitable and fit. They said, in that case, then we can't return to where we came from. Where should we go? He said, stay with me. And they changed their lives and accepted the truth. Then Bahira went to convince Abu Talib that you cannot take him. And Abu Talib then arranged for him, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to be sent back safely. So subhanAllah, amazing are the miracles of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Some years ago, interestingly, there was a Jamaat from Jordan. And they mentioned to us that they are from this area in the vicinity of Busra. They say right there where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sat under the tree is in their area. And this Jamaat was telling us that years ago, in the 70s, when the first Jamaats came from India and Rai Wind, and they came to meet the people of that area, they gave one specific incident. And they were explaining how even them, despite being Arab, how after the fall of the Khilafah, deen started coming out of the lives of people in abundance. So this Jamaat came to meet one particular Arab man from there. And he, due to Arab hospitality, insisted that they partake of meals. So the Jamaat was explaining to him that it's the month of Ramadan and we cannot partake of meals just now. He says, I don't know what you're talking about, but you wait here. He took out his Kalashnikov and said, if you all don't eat, I'm going to blow you all's heads off. So the Jamaat was explaining to us, and I was translating, that this was how far they were from the deen of Allah, and how it was this blessed work of the brothers going masjid to masjid, town to town, community to community, people with their own money and their own time, not waiting for funding from anybody. But they are taking out their time, sometimes taking off from their jobs with unpaid leave to go country to country to uplift Allah's deen in them, in their families, in their communities, in their neighborhoods, and in humanity in totality. What an amazing work of selflessness. Then they were also telling us about long ago when the first Jamaats came and how the Jamaats made inroads into Jordan. Really, the Karguzaris are so amazing of this blessed work. But linking it to this story, an incident of Busra, where this Jamaat met us from, and our beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam traveled to that region as a young man. Yes, when he was of advanced age, he was about 20 some odd, 23 or so. He did travel to Syria again, doing a business transaction with Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha prior to his marriage with her. Allah give us tawfiq to share the truth with humanity. Allah enable us to prepare for these blessed times that are coming, the amazing month coming. Allah help us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi.